The decree on land of the Congress of Soviets of Workers and Soldiers Deputies, adopted at the session of the 26th of October at 2 o'clock in the morning. 1. Private ownership of the land is abolished immediately without redemption of any kind. 2. Landlord holdings, including of all local, monasterial, and church types, with all livestock and implements, manorial buildings, and all belongings, are transferred to the control of local land committees and district Soviets of peasants' deputies, pending the Constituent Assembly. 3. Any damage of any kind to the confiscated property, which henceforth belongs to the entire people, is declared a serious crime, punishable by a revolutionary court. District Soviets of peasants' deputies will take all necessary measures for the observation of the strictest order during the confiscation of private holdings, and for the determination of the question of what size plot and which plots specifically are subject to confiscation, for compiling a precise registry of all confiscated property, and for the strictest revolutionary guard of all property on land being transferred to the people, along with all buildings, tools, livestock, food reserves, etc. 4. The following peasant mandate, compiled by the periodical News of the All-Russian Soviet of Peasants' Deputies, on the basis of 242 local peasant orders, and published in issue 88 of News, Petrograd, 88th edition, 19th of August, 1917, shall serve everywhere for the managing of the great land reforms, pending the final decision of the Constituent Assembly. Quote, concerning land. The land question in all its scope can be decided only by a popular constituent assembly. The most just decision of the land question must be the following. 1. The right of private ownership of the land is abolished forever. Land cannot be sold, bought, rented out, or leased, or is in any other manner alienable. All land that is state, local, bureaucratic, monasterial, church, seasonal, ancestral, privately owned, communal, peasant, and so on, is expropriated without compensation, is transformed into national property, and is transferred to the use of all who toil on it. Those who are affected by this revolution of property have the right to communal support for the time that it is necessary to adapt to these new conditions. 2. All subterranean resources, including ore, oil, coal, salt, etc., and also the forests and waters having nationwide significance, are transferred to the exclusive use of the state. All small rivers, lakes, forests, and so on, are transferred to the use of communes on the condition of their management by local organs of self-governance. 3. Plots of land with highly cultivated production, orchards, plantations, seed farms, nurseries, greenhouses, and so on, are not subject to division, but are transformed into model plots, and are handed over to the exclusive use of the state or communes, depending on their size and significance. Manorial lands, both urban and rural, with household orchards and gardens, are to remain for the use of the current owners. However, the size of the plots themselves and the amount of tax for their usage is to be determined by lawful means. 4. Equine farms, state and private pedigree cattle and poultry raising, etc., are confiscated and turned into national property, and are transferred either to the exclusive use of the government or the commune, depending on their size and significance. The question of their buyout is subject to the consideration of the Constituent Assembly. 5. The entire farming inventory of the confiscated lands, livestock, and implements is transferred to the exclusive use of the state or commune, depending on their size and significance, without redemption. The confiscation of inventory does not concern peasants with little land. 6. All citizens of the Russian state, regardless of sex, who desire to cultivate the land with their own labor, or with the help of their family, or in partnership, have the right to use it, and only for such a time as they are capable of cultivating it. Hired labor is not permitted. In the case of accidental disability of any member of a rural community for the duration of 2 years, the rural community is obligated, until the restoration of his ability to work, to assist him for this period by way of communal cultivation of the land. Land workers who, as a result of age or invalidity, have permanently lost the opportunity to personally cultivate the land, lose the right to utilize it, but, in exchange, receive pension security from the state. 7. Utilization of the land must be egalitarian, that is, the land is to be divided among those who work it, with consideration given to local conditions and labor or consumer norms. The forms of utilization of the land must be entirely free, whether household, farmstead, communal, cooperative, as to be decided in individual settlements and towns. 8. All land, upon being alienated, enters a national land fund. Local and central administrations are to manage the division among the toilers, beginning with democratically organized rural and urban communes free of class distinction, and ending with central oblast institutions. The land fund is to be subjected periodically to redistribution depending on the growth of the population and the increase in productivity and cultivation of the rural economy. Upon a change in the boundaries of land plots, the original nucleus of the plot is to remain untouched. The land of members who leave the community returns to the land fund, and their next of kin, or individuals designated by them, are to receive preferential right to receive the plots. The cost of fertilization and essential improvements invested into the land, insofar as they have not been used up upon surrender of the plot back into the land fund, are to be reimbursed. If in individual locales the present land fund shall be deemed inadequate for the needs of the entire local population, the excess population is subject to resettlement. The state is to take responsibility for the organization of resettlement, as well as expenses related to resettlement and the securing of supplies, and so on. Resettlement is to be done in the following order: volunteer landless peasants, then commune members of ill intent, deserters, and the like, and finally, by drawing lots or by agreement. The entire contents of this mandate, as an expression of the unconditional will of the enormous majority of conscious peasants in all of Russia, are declared to be the provisional law, which, pending the Constituent Assembly, is to be carried out as immediately as possible, or, in certain of its parts, with necessary gradualness, which is to be determined by the District Soviets of Peasants' Deputies. End quote. Comment. After quoting the entirety of the 8 points of the land program as its own point number 4, the decree now returns to its original points and continues with 5. The lands of ordinary peasants and ordinary Cossacks are not to be confiscated. Chairman of the Council of People's Commissars, Vladimir Ulyanov Lenin.